This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win, order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And now something completely different.
Watch us on YouTube. Listen on your favourite podcast platform. Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Strap yourself in.
Because we're set up, switched on and ready to go.
On Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
And now, here's your host.
He talks right, he knows his stuff, and he knows how to make a girl laugh.
Thank you! I'm here all week.
Right, Chris.
All right, welcome back. It's Sloppy Seconds, second show of the evening, the Formula One show earlier, and now we have got the interview show, The Conversation. And yes, my wife always said I knew how to make her laugh. Unfortunately, mostly it was at night in the bedroom, but we won't go into that. But it's a first for me tonight. I'm interviewing the legend that is Bob the Cat Bevan, MBE. Yes, this is my first ever MBE on the show. Now, I'm not exactly sure what to call him. When I heard that he was a Palace fan, there was one or two names that actually sprung to mind. But I'll think of something when we bring him on now. Because for those of you that don't know him, I mean, what can I say? Goalkeeper extraordinaire. An all-round athlete. Some say he was Tyson Fury's inspiration. I don't know who that is, but he's an after-dinner speaker, comedian, speechwriter, awards host and MC, TV and journalist, poet, author, radio presenter and interviewer, auctioneer as well. Basically an all-round clever dick. And we've got Bob's Still, if you want to buy it, it's still available on Amazon, eBay, and all good charity shops around the country. Bob's book, Nearly Famous. It's a very good read, and like I say, it is still available. Let's bring him in. I can just say, good evening, Your Majesty.
Good evening. Good to see you.
It was. I'm not going to mention what you've got on your head.
I don't see why not. I'm wearing an Australian cap.
Nothing wrong with Australia. I've been to Australia. It's a lovely place. It's a shame when it's full of Aussies.
And yes. I love the place too.
Yeah. I had a holiday in Cairns.
Did you?
I really liked it there. Like I say, probably it was full of Aussies, but apart from that, it was a lovely place, you know.
Yeah, Australia tends to be full of Aussies.
It does, unfortunately, doesn't it? Yes, yeah. But... no, like I say, MBE, what can I say? The first after-dinner speaker to ever get an MBE.
Yeah, well, as far as I know, no one's challenged that. And it is 19 years ago now.
Wow, wow. Yes. When we were all a lot younger.
Yeah, that's true. Know.
But, I mean, I did sort of, I went through the list of your activities, shall we say. I mean... Any chance of you leaving a few jobs for the rest of us?
Well, COVID slowed everything down, and yes. I think we're just creeping back. I'm working every Friday this month, and that hasn't happened for about, well, not since COVID, really. So
yes. Yes.
So that's very encouraging. You just got an itchy eye. Sorry about that.
That's all right. You scratch away. Yeah, I was looking because you're doing a lot of after dinner speaking, and obviously you've got the website that you can people can go and check you out where you were appearing locally. I've got to say, there's been a lot of praise about your shows. One thing I have noticed that most of it's coming from people that have passed away. So I'm just quite lucky that I'm still alive talking to you. Yes.
They died laughing, you see.
Ah, that's what it is. Well, yeah. I'll have a giggle. Hopefully I won't go too far. But you do, I mean, you've got a love of cricket, love of golf. Of course, you're an ex-goalie. Do you prefer the bigger or the smaller balls?
Football's number one for me. Yeah. Cricket's not far behind, but I'm more knowledgeable about football. An anorak almost, not just a top level, but also non-league as well. Because I started supporting, as a kid, Dulwich Hamlet, who are currently in National South. And I still go and see him occasionally. But mainly I go to Palace, of course.
An MBE, of course, you would.
Sorry.
I said, with having an MBE, of course, you would. Sorry.
Yeah, well, you'll see, I did a joke about that. If anyone wants to go onto YouTube and see Bob the Cat roast the Duke, I do mention that to the Duke of Edinburgh when I delivered this poem about him, so...
That is the one I haven't seen yet. I was watching it. I saw the one that you did, dear old Ronnie Corbett, who again, no longer with us. But you did one for him. And I got to say, I loved your comment to his wife, I believe, who asked for a copy of the poem, and you said, "At least let me finish it first, love."
Yeah, that was his wife.
Yes,
and Ronnie used to come and watch Palace occasionally. So
did he? Wow!
And there was a picture that had a very old all my yesterday's game between Palace against Luton Town, frighteningly about 40 years ago, and there was Ronnie and I sitting next to each other in the stand. So
wow! Yeah. I mean, let's talk Palace for a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, you're having a better season than we are, let's be honest with you.
Well, but I think that's touch and go, really. That's
we're dragging you in. You are slowly, and of course, you've got the big derby match this evening. Not exactly local rivals, but we were talking about it before. You're away with 73, 74 minutes gone, 1-0 down to Brighton and Hove, yeah. Albion. I mean, that's a weird sort of rivalry. It's not, you know, Liverpool and Everton, I get, but Palace and Brighton?
Yeah, no, it stems from something that went on between Venables and Mallory. It was an FA Cup game, I think. I'm not totally clear why it happened, because when I was a kid, the big rivalry was Millwall and, to a degree, Charlton.
Mm.
And all the guys I went to school with, they largely supported Millwall, because I went to school nearer Millwall than Palace.
Right.
But I just fancied the name, I think. But there's rather an irony that in 1983, I was hired to relax and amuse the Brighton team at the cup final. And those who are old enough to remember will remember Brighton went on the helicopter to Wembley, a British Caledonian helicopter. That's how long ago it was.
Aye, aye.
And I was in the helicopter. I was in the dressing room with them. And I mean, it was a fantasy, really. And I don't think anyone really was clued up that I was a big Palace supporter at the time.
Did you drop anything in the tea? Is this why they lost?
No, I was desperate for them to win, because they were a great crowd of blokes.
Mm.
And we are still, you know, some of us are still in touch after all these years.
Wow.
And I think there will be some sort of reunion at Brighton this year, because it is 40 years.
Well, right. Is that Steve Foster, was it?
Steve Foster, but he was suspended for the first game.
Right.
But and strangely enough, the current chairman hired me about 4 years ago. He took a lot of his contacts on a cruise on the Med.
Ooh.
And he hired me as the entertainer, so... Even though he knows I'm a Palace fan, you know, we're good friends.
And, yes. It's a hard life, isn't it, really, you know?
Well, you know, when you think about Brighton, who were one game away from going out of the league, it's great to see them having turned the corner. As part of my family, are massive Brighton fans.
Really? Well, that causes some arguments on Derby days then.
Not really, because, you know, so long as Palace are doing all right, I'm really happy to see Brighton do well. Not tonight, of course.
But... No, only when you don't play them.
Yeah.
I obviously, you know, being a Leicester fan, we have the rivalry with Derby and Forest and Coventry. I suppose they're like the main three for me. And I know Derby sort of, I do take pleasure in seeing them if they get relegated. But like with Derby, we've got all the financial problems. I would never want to see them go out of business.
No. I'm not sure I even want to see them relegated, really, because we've been relegated enough to know how horrible that is. Particularly if, as I've been lucky enough to do over the years, when you get behind the scenes, if you're in a boardroom a day a team goes down, I mean, when we got into the Premier that season, we got into the playoffs by beating Peterborough at home, which sent them down. And as it happened on the day, Peterborough were by far the better team and were 2-0 up. Now, I'm very friendly with Barry Fry.
Oh, God.
And I was in the boardroom with Barry. And I was so sorry for them all, really, because they were absolutely shattered, because at 2-0, they thought they were going to stay up.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. Jim Barry Fry, my God, that's... Yeah. That's a blast from the past, isn't it?
Well, he's still there at Peterborough.
Is he?
I think he's managing director, isn't he? Well, I haven't checked yet lately. No. Maybe he's retired, but
well, maybe he's just gone quiet, which is not like him. If we're honest, it's still 1-0, unfortunately.
Is it? Yeah,
no difference on there. But I mean, you've had Roy Hodgson for quite a few years, and unfortunately, you know, for a lot of fans outside of Palace, he will always carry that, you know, England manager disaster around his shoulders. But I was reading, or I was listening, I should say, recently, when Roy was there, he didn't really have money to spend.
Well, and I don't think Vieira has, to be honest, now. Well,
they're saying he had more than Roy, and I'm just wondering.
Yeah, he had more than Roy.
Yeah. Do you think if Roy had had maybe the money that Patrick's got, then he may have been able to sort of just take you that step further?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's what we're suffering from at the moment. I don't think there's the investment going in. I think the Americans are looking elsewhere a little bit. And this is own. I have no, you know, I'm not behind the scenes anymore.
No.
This is just a feeling I have, really.
Mm.
It wouldn't be the first time I was talking rubbish, because
you and me both. I don't get paid, unfortunately, but I mean, look. I mean, Palace, like I say, they've been one of those teams that sort of never were always on the edge, like I say, of just doing that little step further, but they never quite did it. I mean, looking back at sort of, you know, when Leicester, and I still have to pinch myself to think that we actually won the Premier League, as a neutral, as in, you didn't have a horse in the race at that point, did it give you as a Palace fan hope that maybe one day?
Well, I think everyone loved it when Leicester won the league, because I think it's one of the great things about football, that there are a lot of surprises, although they don't come much bigger than that.
No.
But for you to, you know, every week there's about 12 surprises. Oof. But for you to produce surprises week after week was extraordinary. And, you know, I think everyone, you know, anyone who really likes football likes to see the lower teams, you know, have their day in the sun.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when I started watching Crystal Palace, they were in Division 3 South. They missed the cut into the fourth division. So we were playing Barrow and Accrington, with great respect to them.
Yeah.
And then one day we got into the top division, which we didn't do until 1970. And then 20 years later, we got in the cup final, which you never, ever thought, you know, because the cup final used to be the holy grail, but it's not quite so much now, sadly.
Yeah.
But I remember doing a dinner in 1990. Obviously, we lost in the replay. I remember doing a dinner and a bloke came out of the audience who was a Palace fan, and he said, "Did you go to the final?" I said, "You're joking. Of course I was at the final." I said, "In fact, I was on Wogan the night before with Bobby John as the token Palace fan."
Yes.
I said, "Of course I was there." And this guy said to me, I just wanted to watch him walk out. And I thought, that said it all. You know, he didn't expect to win, but just to see Crystal Palace walk out at the cup final. And I'm sure, you know, you look now down into the fourth division, someone supporting Sutton United. Who can say in 25 years' time, who knows where they might end up?
Well, look at well, the old Wimbledon. You know, I mean, they went one step further and won it. It took us five attempts to win it. I have to say, we saw our team walk out a lot, but they just never walked back out with the trophy until a couple of seasons ago. Of course, one of your ex-chairmen or owners, a gentleman who has an opinion or two on the radio these days, Mr. Jordan.
Oh, my God. Do we have to talk about him?
Well, I was going to say, what are your thoughts on him? And I'm presuming not very good.
Well, I cannot believe that he has the front to pontificate about football with the mess he left Palace in. And I sold my books when they came out. I did a big book signing. This is about 20 years ago. I'm still waiting for the money.
Really?
And I just have no time for him at all, I'm afraid.
We'll move on very quickly then.
Yeah.
I mean, good luck to Palace for the rest of the season. Hopefully we'll be playing each other next season still in the Premier League.
Let's hope so.
Yes, sir. I mean, we said, touched on it earlier, you've worked a lot in Australia. It says here twice at the Aussie Rules final, 2008 and 2018, also at the Ashes in 2022. Obviously, a lot of people would say, why do you keep coming
actually,
back?
I didn't end up. I worked at the two Ashes before 2022.
Oh, right.
Where actually I was a guest of Cricket Australia because I was president of Kent 10 years ago. But in 2022, I was due to go, but unfortunately, COVID put a stop to that. And so last time I went was 2018, where I did a load of gigs around the Aussie Rules final. I just love working in Australia. The audiences are fantastic.
Well, I was going to say, what's their sense of humour like compared to ours?
Well, we can probably be a little bit more politically incorrect.
Right.
Well, not that I am really, although I have been, but you can hardly say anything now.
That is very true.
I heard the other day, apparently there are now 180 different genders.
Oh,
God knows what they are. But I think it'd be quite good if I could manage to upset each one of them before I go.
you've got a bucket list, have you, and you're ticking them off.
Well, I'd like to know what they're all called, you know, for a start.
Like I said to you, I've been to Australia. I loved it over there. I didn't want to come back, you know, but fortunately I had to. You touched on it there, cricket. I must admit, I mean, you were the president of Kent, you were saying. I mean, Leicestershire, let's say it's not one of our best sports at the moment, cricket. We've struggled for quite a few years now. But the thing I find with cricket is that I love what they're doing with their version of VAR. You know, you see it, you hear what's being said, you hear the decision, and he either says yes or no, and you can see where the ball's going to hit. But I must admit, once you get outside the Ashes, I can't get excited about Test cricket because it goes on a bit long for me. I've got the attention span of a goldfish. But I love One Day, and I really, really enjoy the 2020.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I like all Test cricket, particularly the way England are playing it at the moment. And excuse me. And funnily enough, I just realised last Friday I was doing a dinner with your county man, Jonathan Agnew.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Aggers and I were marvelling in how great it is to watch England at the moment, even though we've lost one or two to Bangladesh, but we've not got all our top players playing, of course.
It's been a while. I started to really get into cricket. I suppose like a lot of people did with Botham's Ashes.
Yeah.
And I always feel that was a bit unfair on with Mike Willis, wasn't it? Bob Willis, that's it, sorry. Because he did as much, if not more, than both of them, really.
No, I think I think, to be fair, I mean, Bob and particularly his brother are great mates. And well, Bob is an ex-great mate. Of course, he's died.
Yeah.
But I'm still great mates with his brother. And to be fair to Beefy, he's the first to say that it was Bob Willis's day, really. Mm. But, you know, it was just such a wonderful game.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. You know, unless you're really into it, you can have a few days where you can have a little bit of a snooze. But, you know, I think it's getting fascinating more and more, really, Test cricket.
It's what I used to call the Jeff boycott days.
Yeah. Now, Jeff was president of Yorkshire when I was president of Kent. And he's a great lad. I like Jeff. He calls a spade, you know, he says. Anyway, there's a good line from him. I sent him an email when he was 80 last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me a great note back saying, normally when I get to 80, I go on to 100. But I might not find it so easy this time. I thought coming from him, that was sensational.
Yeah, I love him as a comment. You know, when he was doing his commentary, yeah. I really did. But as if you like old school cricket, president, I don't mean that awfully, but it was a case of, you know, the whites, and you know that you sat there and you applauded politely, and then we got sort of the Barmy Army, and of course now with the lights of 2020, you've got different colours and night games. I mean, I could say I feel it's attracting because I will watch things that I would never normally watch.
Right.
But how, as sort of an ex-president...
You're still talking about cricket here, are you? Cricket,
yes, yeah. Now. Yes. It got me into it where I probably wouldn't have maybe watched as much as I do watch.
No, I accept that, although I think the 100 is a step too far.
Mm.
I think it's a game we don't need. Mm. I think it's totally wrecked the fixtures. And we've got a ludicrous situation this year where the Ashes has to be completed within a month. Mm. Well, you know, normally that runs on through the summer, which is great.
Mm.
But there we are. There's nothing we can do about it.
No.
Sometimes.
Of course, it all started to go a bit different with them. And again, another Australian, Mr. Kerry Packer.
Yeah. Yeah, I've not met him. I met his son.
Right. I mean, again, he wasn't very popular, was he?
Well, he wasn't very popular to start, but he changed the whole face of cricket, both financially, so the players got better paid, but also the quality of the television presentation was just great. And then one of the chaps who was behind that was a chap called Dave Hill, who came over here, and he's the guy who set up Sky with the Premier League. And in fact, I did the first four Monday Night Lives of the Premier League because he thought I was the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
But then they decided they couldn't afford to have people on there who took the mickey because they were taking it a bit seriously then. And so, but it did lead me to go on to do 606 after Danny Baker. So I enjoyed that. But Dave Hill, so it was Nozzy, he's the guy who started putting the score and the time up in the top corner of the screen. Which, of course, is now around the world. Everyone does that, of course.
Wow. I mean, 606, a bit of a classic, wasn't it, you know, even after Danny Baker. But I've got to ask, because I've got to say, all joking aside, I mean, complete 1,000% kudos to you. I bow before you. You once stayed overnight with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
not in the same room.
Oh, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it for me. I've got here. What a lucky sod. How did you? I mean, I've got to be honest with you. It was the holiday.
As when I had a PR company and I arranged for her to name a ship. And and we stayed overnight in the Holiday in Dover, would you believe? And she was the nicest girl. I mean, she was very attractive, of course. Well, I'm sure she is now.
I'm sure she still is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I haven't seen her since, but we are sort of loosely in touch because she is great.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Friends with the wife of Rob Bransgrove, who's the chairman of Hampshire Cricket. Nice. Because his wife was a dancer, like my wife was a dancer. Mm-hmm. And Catherine and Rod's wife were in the West End together in 42nd Street.
Right.
And they have been friends ever since. And so when Mandy Bransgrove had a birthday recently, Catherine sent a video to wish her well at the party.
Mm.
And I wrote a poem for the evening for them as well. So, which was Mickey taking, of course.
Well, I would expect nothing less. And we're going to come to one of your poems later. But I've got to say, I was hoping that story was going to go maybe a bit of a different way than that.
No, she went out. Quite a lot of the girls from my company that I had at the time went out to dinner with her. Unfortunately, I'd returned from a stag night and went to bed early. This doesn't go very well, really.
No.
And but a lot of my colleagues went out to dinner with her the night before the launching, and they said how nice she was. And then the next day, I spent the day with her, and she was the nicest person, you know. That's what was really good.
And you didn't mind being seen around town with her, I'm sure.
No. No, there is a picture of us in my book. So,
you know, well, let's not get into pictures. We might be a bit. I can't afford expensive lawyers. Can I just say, at Brighton, you are now into the 98th minute and they're still playing.
Really?
I'm not sure what, but then again, it's 95 minutes at Southampton.
And so is it still 1-0?
Unfortunately, it is. Sorry, yes. Yes.
And how are Brentford doing at Southampton?
Brentford are winning 1-0.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is 3 points for me in the prediction league, so I'm quite happy about that.
Yeah.
But you were saying there with Catherine about it, you were launching ships at that time. It says, I mean, obviously, it's on the internet, so we hope that, you know, we get our information right. 16 ship launches. You must have really pissed the Queen off. she getting ready. Oh, it's Bob's turn. Bloody hell.
I think you've misunderstood. I was head of PR for a company called European Ferries. And so I organized 16 ship launches.
Ah, right.
I didn't launch them.
I was going to say, otherwise, when you're giving you the MB, you know, that's the sword to the knighthood, isn't it? She might have got that out just to chop your head off. I mean, that was that the ferry company, did you say?
Townsend Torreson.
I remember Townsend Torreson, the sad accident that they had.
Well, fortunately, I'd left 3 years before, but it was terrible, and obviously, I knew a lot of people who were involved, so
yes,
a totally upsetting time.
I was working in the travel business at the time, and we used to sell a lot of Townsend tourism tickets. They were the easiest to sell and the easiest to write out, but it was bad news and RIP.
Even if you couldn't spell tourism.
Exactly, yes. TT, everybody knew it as, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've got to say that you've given me a lot of firsts. Like I said, my first MBE that I've interviewed, nearly got some dirt on you and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Two names that I never, ever thought I would say in one of my shows, Saddam Hussein and Princess Anne. And I certainly never thought that I would be saying them together. Now, apparently, you upset one of them and you got embarrassed in front of the other.
No, I didn't upset either of them. Princess Anne came to open a car ferry terminal for me at Felixstowe. And I now have the great pleasure of knowing her husband quite well, because he was president of Kent 2 years ago. And so I did say to him once that his wife had opened a car ferry terminal for me, which probably wasn't the highlight of her career. To which he said, "Oh, I don't know." So that was quite a good line. No, what happened was when I was in the PR business, I had shaken hands to win the account to try and get some tourism for Qatar. We shook hands with the powers that be there, and they said they were coming to London in 2 weeks' time to sign the contract. And we flew home, and while we were in the air, Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. And I never heard from him again.
A lot of people.
Life has moved on since, of course.
Yeah, of course. It was a while after that. Nobody heard from him again.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, bad news, I'm afraid, full time at the Amex.
I can see it on the screen. Paris Hill.
And I don't think, I think the other one, yeah, the other one, oh, the other one's finished now. But you do know something, you can never rely on football teams, can you?
No.
At 1-0 to Brentford, I was on 3 points. They scored another goal, and it's finished 2-0.
I forecast 2-0.
I needed the 3 points as well.
Are you doing Super Six?
No, this is just one I do for the channel.
Oh, right. Okay.
I needed the par. Typical Brentford. One job, Brentford. One job.
Yeah.
Moving on from Saddam Hussein and Princess Anne, which is probably a good thing. Football writers, Football of the Year dinners. 4 times you've done Terry McDermott, John Barnes, Eric Cantona. I hope you didn't get attacked by seagulls. And, of course, our own crisp seller, Mr. Gary Lineker, who's been in the news lately.
Well, I wrote a poem for the evening. Which was called, because at that time he was leaving Spurs to go to the Far East.
1+8, I believe it was, yes.
And so I wrote a poem, which as far as I know is still hanging in his loo. And it was called Goodbye Gal, with apologies to Neil Simon. And and I remember the first verse. There were 16 of them, some of which I might not be able to deliver now.
No.
But the first verse was, "One day after playing West Ham, Gal said, 'My career's in a jam.' So he went to Eltel, said, 'Though you pay me quite well, I think I'll clear off to Japan.'" So I've cleaned that up, actually.
Yeah, I am sure. And I know which words you've cleaned up there. I mean, 16 verses, wow.
Yes.
I've got to say, obviously he's been in the news lately.
Yeah.
And we discussed this just before we came live. Whether you sort of agree with what he says or don't agree with what he says, and I don't agree with a lot of what he says. I mean, like I said to you before, I was at school with him. I was in the same class as him.
What went wrong?
Whatever happened to him? I don't know. But, you know, we are different ends of the political spectrum, and I have no problem with that. We live in a free society. But I have got to say that his right to say what he wants, what any of us want, should be allowed. I mean, there was a time when I remember one of the comedians, well-known comedian at the time, was doing some tours around some universities. And he went to one and they gave him a list of things that he couldn't make jokes about.
Mm. I mean, well, we get that if I go to work at a dinner, particularly a corporate dinner, there will be certain areas where you wouldn't upset anyone's sensitivities. Because you are being paid by the booker.
Yes.
And therefore, I think you respect that. So while I totally agree with you about the free speech, he was asked by his employers, who pay him very good money, to observe certain rules. And, you know, I think out of respect to them, he should not have done that. And I thought it was rather hypocritical to criticizing the language used by the government. Well, his language talking about Nazi Germany was no better, frankly. And I think quite a lot of Jewish people may have been upset by that.
I think so. So
I think I certainly don't think, you know, all the others should have cleared off, because I think it's a question of, you know, you show loyalty to your employers and you show loyalty to your public.
I mean, it does, I suppose.
If you want to say a load of political stuff on either direction, you're totally entitled to do so, but you can resign and do it if it means that much to you.
Yes.
He's still taking the BBC shilling, of course.
Which is our shilling.
Our shilling,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny because you're quite right. It all depends on exactly what he has signed and what he's agreed to on that. I think the BBC have made a straw for their own back here. And I think that they've opened up Pandora's box with this. For me, I've got to be honest with you, and nothing against what he said, but just taking it, if I was to be able to watch a match of the day with no pundits on, I would love it. I would say, show me 5 minutes more of every game.
Yeah.
You know, and
I have to admit that there are occasions when even my great hero, Ian Wright, there are occasions when I fast forward the pundits.
I get it at live matches. I understand at live matches because you've got the half-time break to fill.
Yeah.
But not on highlights, you know. But I preferred it without the pundits. And although I must admit, I did prefer the GB News alternative match of the day, but that was only because I was on it. So I would prefer that. I mean, how do you react? And I would certainly... I understand what you're saying about when you're doing an after dinner speech that they may say, right, please don't mention passing away because, you know, Joe's.
Well, I'll give an example. Mm. If I was going to take the mickey out of someone, because I take the mickey out of people, that's what I do, really.
Yes. Yeah.
But, you know, if I'm going to do a joke about someone getting drunk, I always check that I'm not in the presence of a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then that would not be amusing.
No.
And so, and there are various other things. I mean, if a guy's been divorced three times or whatever, or, you know, he's had some tragedy, I try and make sure I know, you know, that there's no go areas before I go on. So
I suppose it is different with an after dinner speaker just to an outright sort of, you know, comedian. I love, I've got to be honest with you, the non-PC comedians, you know, Jim Davison, Ricky Gervais, etc. It's the world we live in. It's a changing world.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be. That's how it should be. Goalkeeping, you were, like you said yourself, a top-notch goalkeeper.
No, I never said that.
A model of athleticism.
I was goalkeeper for the old Wilsonian 7th 11.
Seven.
I did used to play on the field, and then when I slowed up, I went in goal, and they started calling me the cat because I gave my defence kittens.
Ah, that's what he was. You're not like Peter Bonetti then?
No, but Peter... I got to meet Peter at dinners, and he turned up, first time I met him, which was a lovely thing to do. He turned up with a lawyer friend, and he gave me a properly drawn up writ for nicking his name, and the damages were 2 walnut whips, 3 packets of Wrigley's, and a pint of lager. And they not only have produced this proper writ, but they'd had a blown up one done, which they laminated it.
Oh.
And it's hanging in my office over the other side to this day. And I just thought that was a lovely thing to do for a bloke he'd never met. You know?
No, totally, totally. I'd say, did you pay?
Did I what?
Did you pay?
No, do you know what I should have done? Because my local publican said you should have given him the Wrigley's and the walnut whips and made him come down to Tunbridge Wells to get his pint of lager.
Yes.
Yes, so I missed a trick there.
You did. And
sadly, now he's gone, of course.
Of course. Yeah. There's so many regrets.
As have so many.
Yes, yes.
But there we are.
I don't think there's a football club that you've not actually spoken at.
Yeah, I've done all but about a dozen of the 92.
Hmm.
So it was my ambition to speak at them all, but, you know, I don't think I'm going to do it now, really. So
you never know. Fingers crossed.
You never know. I've done Leicester City several times. And
yes.
Martin George, your ex-chairman, got me to do his... I think it was his 60th birthday, which was a big party, a big shooting party.
Oh, God.
But they weren't the greatest audience because they came from a generation where they were too macho to wear ear defenders when they were shooting. And so I wondered why I didn't go too well. And some woman said, well, they're all deaf, aren't they?
Well, you thought this is going well. Nobody's complaining, you know.
And funnily enough, Palace were playing Leicester. And when I parked, Martin stepped out of his roller. And I said to him, I haven't seen you for years, Martin. The last one was your 60th. And he said, funnily enough, I'm 70 today.
Oh.
So I don't know what he is now. Is he still around at Leicester?
I'm not sure. I would possibly think not, but I don't want to sort of kill him off before his time, I thought. But
is Alan Birchenall still at Leicester?
Oh, he is still going, yes.
Please give him my love.
I will do. He will do. Ambassador and that... He will still be going when they've got to wheel him out onto that pitch in the back chair to do it. He is absolutely amazing. I mean, as you know, he had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And you know what is lovely about Alan? It's not just me. He
played for Palace, you know.
He did.
When we were in the first division, when we were in the top tier.
But then he got his senses right and he came to Leicester. Yeah. But I mean, he'd had the trouble, and obviously he was a big, you know, supporter of, and having defibrillators everywhere, quite rightly. Yeah. And I had a heart attack about 3 years ago now. And yeah. I say, not just me, they do it for a lot of fans. But he took the time to ring me up.
Yeah.
And say, how's it going? Now, don't do this and do this. And he is a absolutely
lovely man. He's a legend. And I've done a few dinners up there, and he was always there. But I haven't done one there for a bit, of course. So.
Oh, he's a Mr. Leicester, although obviously, like you say, he did have a history at other clubs as well.
Yeah. But no, Leicester's in his left breast, isn't it?
It is, definitely, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, of course, he has the well, he did have the pub. I don't know if he's still got the pub. Were there any clubs that you absolutely couldn't wait to get out of?
I don't think so, no. I don't think so. I can't think of one, no. I mean, everywhere I've been, you know, people are very friendly and, you know, everyone, you know, even though I was demonstrably lacking in natural talent, I'd always loved the atmosphere of sport.
Mm.
And, you know, sport is such a force for good. And, you know, it's enriched my life, really.
Yes.
And, you know, I've been to clubs that, like Millwall, our deadly rivals, or Brighton, you know.
Mm.
And I'm just made so welcome. It's fabulous, really.
It should always be like that, shouldn't it? You know, scream at each other for 90 minutes and then go and have a beer and what have you afterwards, you know. And it would be remiss of me not to just end with this, but you did, as you said at the start, receive your MBE.
Yeah.
Obviously, and you know, we thank you for coming on, Your Majesty. You met the dearly departed Queen. Tell us about that. That must have been a truly, truly special day for you.
What was that? What, getting my MBE?
Yes.
Yeah, because we all hoped it would be the Queen, and I was doing Countdown on and off at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, if we're coming to the end, this is probably a good story to end on.
Does it involve Carol Vorderman?
Yeah, Carol Vorderman and Richard Whiteley.
Yes, yes.
And Richard became a great pal of mine.
Mm.
In fact, I haven't been on it since he died, so that probably says something.
Mm.
Anyway, Richard and I were in the same honours list. He got an OBE. Yeah. And so this is 2004. He went 1 week. I went the next. We both went to each other's leaving party, celebration parties. Mm. Needless to say, his was much bigger than mine. And when you go on Countdown, people used to tell you it was the Queen's favourite programme. And so we were both hoping we'd get the Queen. And even then, she was only doing one in three investitures.
Right.
And anyway, we both got the Queen and we were very lucky.
Yeah.
And so Richard went to get his gong and he stepped forward and the Queen said, because it's you announce, first of all.
Right.
So Mr. Richard Whiteley for services to broadcasting. So he steps forward. And she said, I'm very pleased to give you this, and puts his medal on. And she said, now tell me, what sort of broadcasting do you do? So he was absolutely shattered. He managed to recover, and he said, well, ma'am, I introduced a quiz program on Channel 4 called Countdown, and I've been doing it for 22 years. And she said, well, whatever it is, it must be jolly good. And shook his hand and he was gone. And it was absolute nonsense that it was the Queen's favourite.
I can imagine that must have really knocked the stuffing out of him. You know?
Yeah, he took it very well. Yeah. But, you know, he told the story against himself later.
Yes. So. Yeah, he was,
He was a top bloke, actually. Yeah. Died far too young, I'm afraid.
Fortunately, yes. I always remember the was it Knowles Gotcha on him as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes, you know.
No, he was a top.
Yes, he was. He was.
Bloke.
Bob, thank you so, so much for coming on. I love talking memories.
I think we've run over time, haven't we?
We are coming up to the end of it now, but we never, never mind. We can always find time. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about that. And can I just say, though, my biggest, I've loved doing it. My biggest disappointment is there was nothing to talk about with Catherine Zeta-Jones. That was my
biggest point. You've got to be careful. You've got to mention the other 178 genders now.
Yeah, well, this is very true. I should have got them printed off first. But yeah. This is where people can find you anyway, and follow you and find out where all your upcoming after dinner speeches and days are. And of course, it's www.bobthecatbevan.com.
That's right.
Go through it, and I'll put that link in the chat below. And when's your next one, Bob?
I'm doing something on Friday at Ashridge Golf Club in Hertfordshire.
Right. So if anybody's around there.
And then I've got a Jimmy Greaves Foundation dinner the following Friday.
All right.
So
Jimmy Greaves.
And I've got a lunch the same day, which is the National Lubricants Association, if you believe that. It's the second time I've done that. And don't say a word, because they've heard them all before.
I am sure they have. And I don't think there's anything I could say that YouTube wouldn't cut out, to be honest with you. That's more. Now that could probably go further than the Catherine Zeta-Jones story, you know. But do please, everybody, check out the website and find out where Bob is appearing. And if not, who knows? You might see him down at Selhurst Park if they have a goalkeeping problem. He's just waiting for the call. Know. If Patrick's watching. Call him, okay. Bob, thank you so much for coming on. I really do appreciate it.
Okay.
And I'll send you the link.
Good luck to Leicester.
Well, we'll need it.
Yeah.
Definitely need it. And like I say, let's hope we're playing each other again in the Premier League next season.
Yeah. Okay, mate.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Bob. All the best, mate. Take care.
God bless. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night. My thanks there to Bob. What a character. Catherine Zeta-Jones, I just can't. Maybe if it had been Catherine Zeta-Jones and the lubricants. No, let's not go there. Let's just not go there. I can't afford the lawyers. I'm going to be back tomorrow night at 9 o'clock with the Brentford preview. We will see you then. If you've been watching Leicester Fly Die TV on Twitch and YouTube, and also if you've been listening on your favourite podcast platform, thank you for lending me ears. You can have them back now. Thanks a lot for that, Nate. Glad you enjoyed it. Bad luck to Palace tonight, but I did get a point for the Brighton win. And Brentford, you just let me down. All I'll say is thanks to everybody for watching and listening. And as always, at the end, I'm going to hand you over to Arnie. Good night.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You'd better like them too, or I'll be back.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
That's all, folks.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye, and see you next time.
Leicester till we die. Leicester till we die.
I am looking for Dr. Goodhead.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.